Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Lamed He, and we are 5 lines from the top of daf Kuf Lamed Dal Ramed Beis. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu Bnei Yisrael Hanasuna Batzar Vashivya. Today's daf is also being learned as a schos Refuah Shalema for Rivka Bas Rachel and for Menachem Mendel Yosef Ben Freda. So, at the end of yesterday's daf, we began a new Mishnah. The Mishnah is on the bottom of Daf Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah says, "Ha'omer ze bini neman, ze achi einoy neman." If somebody says, pointing at a specific person, "Ze bini, this is my son," neman, he's believed. If somebody points at a person and says, "Ze achi, this person is my brother," einoy neman, he is not going to be believed. Now, in the previous staff, we began the Gemara's analysis of the first part of the Mishnah, Ha'imr Zeh B'ni Neman. We are now going to resume that analysis, and at the very end of the daf, we are going to turn our attention from Ha'imr Zeh B'ni Neman to Ha'imr Zeh Achi Einoy Neman. So again, the Mishnah says, Ha'imr Zeh B'ni Neman. The Gemara said, L'may Hilchasa, with regards to what Nafgamina lehalacha, did Chazal say that a father is believed to say Zebini? So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, there are two Nafgaminas lehalacha. Number one, liyarshay. Number two, liftar es ishtay min ayibum. So if a person is dying and he says Zebini, meaning this person has the right to inherit my possessions, that person will inherit the mace's possessions under the premise that he is in fact his son. Additionally, in the event that a man is dying, and as far as we know, he has no children, he has a brother, which would mean that this woman is now going to fall liyibum. If he says Zebini, Neman, Liftar, Es Ishtoi, Min Hayibum. The Gemara asked, why was it necessary for the Tana of our Mishnah to teach us this halacha? Meaning, we understand the halacha, and we understand the nafgiminos lehalacha that come about from this halacha. But the Gemara's kasha was, why was it necessary? It would seem to be miutar. It would seem to be superfluous. Why? As it relates to the first halacha that emerges from Ha'omer Zeh B'ni Neman, liyarshay, pshita, that's obvious. Why is it obvious? Because if the man is lying, but he really, in some deceptive way, wants to give his nechasim over to this person, then just give the nechasim over to this person. He has a migu, he could have given it to him b'matan, and as a result, this is a classic migu, he's believed to say Zebini. As it relates to liftar es ishtay min ayibum, even though there's a little bit of a chiddush in that, but the Gemara says, I don't need this Mishnah for that, because honami tonino. This is a Mishnah somewhere else. Kedushin daf samach dalid, where the Mishnah says, Mishama b'shas misasa yesh libanim neman. So, Freik the Gemara, I understand the halacha, I understand where it plays itself out, lemaisa, I just don't know why the time of the Mishnah had to tell it to me. With regards to the first nafgamina, pshita, with regards to the second nafgamina, it's not pshita, but I know it already from a Mishnah that we learned about a year and change ago in the Daf Yomi cycle, and that is that Misha Amar Bishas Misasa Yesh Libanim Neman. So the Gemara said, La'olam, the reason the time of the Mishnah taught us this halacha is for Liftaris Ishtay Min Ayibum. I, Hanami Tonina, don't I know that already from the Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin? The Gemara says, I know it, but I don't know it. Meaning, I know there's a concept of Misha Amar Bishas Misasa Yesh Libanim Neman. I know there's a concept of Ha'omer Zeh B'ni Neman, but I wouldn't from that Mishnah know the extent of the halacha. Meaning, from that Mishnah alone, I could have thought that the only time the father is believed is if it's loy muchzik lam ba'ach. If, as far as we know, this man maybe doesn't have a brother. There's no chazaka anywhere that says that there's a brother. As a result, this woman anyways wasn't going to fall Yibam. She wasn't going to fall Yibam because there was no one to fall Yibam to. There's no proverbial shimon in this story. As a result, that's why he's believed to say Zebini. If, however, it was Muchsiklon Ba'ach, so as far as we know, the Chazak is that she's going to fall Yibam. For him to say Zebini, to go Keneged the Chazaka, that she is Becheskas Yevama, Mechatesi, he'd be believed for that. Kamash Malon, that he's going to be believed. So the bottom line is, Ha'imer Zebini Neman, Lamai Hilchasa, now that we hazard over the end of yesterday's daf, number one, Liyarshai, which is pshita. Number two, liftar es ishtoy min ayibum, and afal gav de muchsek le Ba'ach. The Gemara now is going to bring a memra that Rav Yosef said over in the name of Rav Yehuda, who had said it over in the name of Shmuel. There's going to be a little bit of drama, as we're going to see. But really, what the Gemara is going to do high level is give us the reason. Why is it that Ha'omer Zebini Neman Lifter is Ishtay Min Ayibun and Afal Gaf the Muchzak Leibach? Zok the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, and the names matter. Mepnei Ma Amru, why did Chazal say Zebini Neman? So Rav Yosef says, I heard from my Rebbe Rav Yehuda, who heard from his Rebbe Shmuel, that why is it that if a father says Zebini, he's believed, Lifter is Ishtay Min Ayibun, Afal Gaf the Muchzak Leibach? And he said that what I was Makabel was, Hoyl Ubal Sha'ama Girashti is Ishtay Neman. It's being that if a man walks into Bezdin and he says, I divorce my wife. Now, no one saw get, there were no Edei Mesira, but he says, I'm telling you what happened. Geirashti es ishti. The halach is he's believed. And being that a man is believed to say, Geirashti es ishti, it's for that reason he's also believed to say, Zebini. So before we even try to make sense of what Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel is saying, the Gemara interrupts, and the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, after Rav Yosef said this, he said, Morid Avram, which the Rashbam says is our way of saying, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, or Rebbeinu Da'al Makula, right? He said, Tali Tanya B'Dolei Tanya. Did Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel really say that? So Rav Yosef says something that he heard from Rav Yehuda, who had himself said over something that he heard from Shmuel, and a minute after he said it, he was, come again. Did I just say that? Meaning, did I really hear Rav Yehuda say in the name of Shmuel that the reason Omer Zebini Neman is Hoyul Ubal Sha'ama Girashti is Ishti Neman L'chura Toli Tanya B'Dolei Tanya. Meaning, Omer Zebini Neman is Tanya. Tanya usually means a Braisa. But in this instance, it means it's something that was taught by the Tanoim. In fact, it's not just a Braisa. It's a Mishnah. Bal Sha'ama Girashti is Ishti Neman. It's not a Mishnah, it's not a Braisa, it's a Loitanya. Meaning, Ha'imer Zebni Neman is a more established fact in the world of Teresh Shaval Peh than Baal Sha'amar Girashti Es Ishti Neman. In fact, not even clear why Baal Sha'amar Girashti Es Ishti Neman. Who even said Baal Sha'amar Girashti Es Ishti is Neman? But for sure, Ha'imer Zebni Neman is more miyusad than is Baal Sha'amar Girashti Es Ishti. So Rav Yosef said that it's just interesting that Rav Yehuda would have said in the name of Shmuel that the reason that Ha'omer Zebini Neman is because Baal Sha'amar Girashti Es Ishti Neman. Usually, if you're going to be toila one halacha in another halacha, you would be toila the loy tanya in the tanya. The less established fact and the more established fact. Like, I'm coming to tell you something not so well known. You want to know why this is true? Because everyone knows this. Oh, so this is also the case. And L'chura said, Rabbi Yosef, the way I'm presenting what I heard from Rabbi Yehuda, it's mamish in the reverse. So he said, Morid Avram, Ribbono Shel Olam, Toli Tanya, B'Doloi Tanya. And the punchline of what Rabbi Yosef was trying to say was that even though I know I just said this over in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who had heard it from his Rebbe Shmuel, I must be saying over something a little bit improperly. Okay, so what then did Rabbi Yehuda really say in the name of Shmuel? Ella, itmar hachi itmar. This is probably what happened. Amr Rabbi Yehuda ma Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda must have said in the name of Shmuel, mipnei ma amru zebeni neman. Why is it that Chazal said zebeni neman, our Mishnah, hayul ubiyadei lagarsha? So now we're not being Toli Tanya B'Doloi Tanya. We're coming to explain a Mishnah, which you're allowed to do, and we're being toiled in a reason, in a svara. You want to know why your Omer Zebini Neman, Lifter Sishtem in Ayibum, and Afal Gafta Muchzik Lambach, it's because it's a svara. Hoyol Ubiyodi L'Garashin. If this man wants to pater his wife from Yibum, he could do it in a second. All he needs to do is hire a cipher, write a get, Lishma, Edichsima, Edimasira, Bifnei Bezdin, Shaloi Bifnei Bezdin, and just give the get, and everything is going to be okay. So being that he has a miku, he has what the Gemara refers to as a hoyo. If he wanted to just pater his wife from Yibum, he doesn't have to walk into court, he doesn't have to lie, he doesn't have to be overly sana, he doesn't have to do any of these things. He could just give a get. So he's believed to say, Zebini to pater his wife mina Yibum, hoyo, that anyways, he could have pater his wife mina Yibum. So first, Rav Yosef thought that he heard from Yehuda Mashmul, that mitnei ma'amru Zebini neman hoyo lubal shalmi girash, and then he had a machshav b'shni. He said, "There's no way that's what I heard." Okay, so what then did I hear? I must have heard Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul saying, "Bipnei ma amru zebini neman, not hoyul ubal shama girashi es ishti neman, but rather hoyul ubiyodei lagarsha." But Rabbi Yosef had in his memory that something related to what Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul said had a shayches to bal shama girashi es ishti neman. Right? That's why Lechatchila, he thought that that was Gufo, what Rav Yehuda Mishmuel was talking about. That why is it Zebni Neman? Because Baal Shem Migrashi is Tishin Neman. But then he realized that makes no sense because Toli Tanya, but Toli Tanya. So he tweaks a little bit. And he deletes the whole Indian of Baal Shem Migrashi is Tishti. Mipnei Ma'amru Zebni Neman, not Hoyl U Baal Shem Migrashi is Tishti, but Hoyl U B'yadei Lagasha. But he knew he had something intertwined in his memory. So Rav Yosef said, this is how it must have played out. This is probably what I'm remembering, but not remembering properly. Amr Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Hashtu da Amrit. Now that Rav Yehuda Mishmuel said, Amrinon Hayil, that is a svara called Hayil. What does that mean? Baal Sha'amar Zebni Neman Hayil Ubiyadei Lagarsha. So he said, I'm going to take this principle of Hayil and I'm going to apply it. I'm going to cut and paste it. And I'm going to say that if there's an idea called Hayil, then so too, Baal Sha'amar Girashli Es Ishti Neman, a man that says Girashli Es Ishti is going to be believed. And why is he going to be believed? For the same svar of Hayil, Hayil Ubiyadei Lagarsha. In other words, it's not that the reason Ha'omez Ebeni Neman is because Baal Sha'am Igarashi Yasishti. The connection between those two ideas is not that one is the reason for the other. Because that's a Toli Tanya B'Toli Tanya. The connection between these two ideas is that both ideas are underpinned by the same reason. Ha'omez Ebeni Neman is the same as Baal Sha'am Igarashi Yasishti Neman. What Shaykh is? They're both related to a principle of Hayil. Hayil ubiyadei lagarsha ha'imer zebini neman and hayil ubiyadei lagarsha baal sha'am igirashi yasishni neman. It's the same exact svara. A man is believed to pater his wife mina yibum. Why? Because if he wants, so he can just pater by giving her a get. And a man is believed to say, I divorce my wife. Why? Because if he wants to, he could just divorce her by giving her a get. So the reason for Ha'imez Ebeni Neman is not Baal Sha'am Agirashi Yasishti. And that's not the connection between the two halachas. Because that's a Toli Tanya B'Toli Tanya. The connection between the two halachas is that both halachas are underpinned by the same reason. Ha'imez Ebeni Neman is for the same reason that Baal Sha'am Agirashi Yasishti is Neman. So just hit the pause button for 1 second. What just happened? Rav Yosef walks into Beis Medrash and he says, Omech Rav Yehuda Mashmu. I heard from Rav Yehuda saying the name of Shmuel. Why is it that Zebeni Neman, our Mishnah, which is also a Mishnah Kedushin, right? It's a Mishnah twice. It's because Hayul Ubi Ubal Sha'am Agirashi Yasishti Neman. And then a minute after he says it, he says, 1 second, that doesn't make any sense. Must be that I'm saying this over wrong. Not that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, Mipnei Ma Amru Zebni Neman Hayul Ubal Sha'am Agirashi Yasishti Neman. But rather, what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel must have said was, Mipnei Ma Amru Zebni Neman, it's Hayul Ubi Yadai Ligarsha. And I probably shtel tzu that if there's a svara hayil b'yadei lagarsha, that is the reason why ha'im is ebni neman, then that should also be a reason the Baal Sha'am Igarashni is ishti is neman. So what happened here? Rav Yosef says over halacha in the name of Yehuda Mashmul, and then he says, 1 second, maybe I'm saying over the halacha wrong, and he says, okay, let me try a little bit differently. But Rav Yosef wasn't sure, so the Rashbam tells us a story that Rashi tells us in different places in Shas, which is really based on a Gemara, in Masechtas Nedarim, Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, that Rav Yosef was a great, great, great Talmudist, but he became sick, and during his illness, he forgot his learning. And after he had a refuah, his learning came back to him. But it wasn't so clear to him as it had been before he got sick. And it was so unclear that Rabbi Yosef would sometimes say a halacha, and after he would say it, he would chop, you know something, maybe I'm not saying this over right. And he would rethink it, and Rabbi Yosef would literally have to try to figure out what he remembered, because the way his zikaron was set at that time was sometime a little bit famished. And this is in a classic example of that, where Rav Yosef just walks into Beis Medrash, she says, Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he says a halacha, then he chaps on his own. He says, 1 second, that seems to be a little bit off. And as a result, he goes and he edits what he said. He gives you the version 2.0, and he says, oh, this must be the way it had presented itself. The truth is, in some Gemaras, Rav Yosef says over halacha, and he himself doesn't chap that he's saying it over in the wrong way, but rather it's Abaya, his Talmud Muvik, that's the one that tells him that he's saying it over in the wrong way. I'll tell you something interesting that Rav Shmuel Yankiv brings in Zois LeYakov in Parshas Yisroi. If you take a look at the Gemara, Nedarim Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, that's what the Gemara talks about. Rav Yosef, who forgot his learning, one of the Gemaras, and it says there, Kol Mishkavoy Hafachto Becholya. It's Pasuk in Tehillim. Kol Mishkavoy Hafachto Becholya. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, you know what that means? Loimer de Meshakeach Limudoy. So this is in the Sugyas in Perek Ein Bein Amudah that talks about a Chayla, Bikur Chayla. That's what's happening in those Gemaras. And one of the Pesukim that talk about a Chayla is Kol Mishkavoy Hafachto Becholya. And Rav Yosef commented on that. Loimer de Meshakeach Limudoy. What it means is that a person who's a chayla will sometimes forget his learning. And the Gemara says on that note, Rabbi Yosef Chalash, Rabbi Yosef himself was a chayla, iakulei limude, he forgot his learning. Ahadre Abaya Kameh, and his Talmud Abaya had to remind him of different halachas. And hainu de b'chol duchta amrinan, this is what it means when you find in kol duchta, throughout Shas, Amar Rav Yosef will say, Lo yishmiya li hadash maita. I never heard this halacha. And Amalei Abai would tell him, Rav Yosef, no, of course you heard it. Not only did you hear it, I only know it because of you. At amrita nehalon, umihamas nisan, amrita nehalon. Now the Gemara for the same price could have said, Hainu da amrita bikule shmaita, mori davram, toli tanya b'doli tanya. It's all the same thing. The Rav Yosef himself was, ishtakach limude, he had forgotten his learning, and that's this inyan. So Shmuel Yankiv said that if you take a look at Rashi on the Dorim, Rashi over there says, "Kol mishkavoy hafachta b'chalyoy, kol seder hatzoas limudoy hamesuderloy nepachloy b'chalyoy u'meshakchay." That if a person learns and his Torah is mesudar, it's mesudar, it's organized, the chayli will cause seder hatzoas limudoy hamesuderloy to be nepachloy b'chalyoy, and as a result, he's going to forget. Rashi seems to be zooming in on one point of a person's learning that is vulnerable to be forgotten if he becomes a chayla. And that is seder hatzas limudai, ha-mesuder loy. And now all of a sudden it's not mesuder anymore. Now it's nepach loy. Now the whole thing is confused. V'nahapachu. And it's that Rabbi Yosef meant when he said, Kol mishkavei hafachta b'chalyoy, Amr Rabbi Yosef loyme de meshakeach limudai. So Shmuel Yankiv shtelt su that we know the Gemara in the end of Masechtas Hayriyas, it's also the Gemara and then the Masechtas Brachas, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, who are two great Bali Plukta, each one the Gemara said had his own unique maila. Rabbi was an Oiker Harim, whereas Rabbi Yosef was a Sinai. And when it came time to appoint a Rosh Yeshiva, and it seems that the choices, the contenders, were narrowed down to two. It was Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, respectively, and the Olam had to cast a vote. They had to decide, is it going to be Rabbi or Rabbi Yosef? And they sat down and they said, okay, who's Rabbi, who's Rabbi Yosef? And they realized, oh, Rabbi's an Oikahar, Rabbi Yosef is a Sinai. They're both great, great, great tzaddikim and big lamdanim and very worthy of being Rosh Yeshivas. But each one had his unique mahalach. And the Shaila then was, Sinai Yadav Oikahar Yadav. So they sent the message to Eretz Yisrael and they came back Sinai Yadav. But Rabbi Yosef had heard from an astrologer that his term wasn't going to last very long. And as a result, he deferred. And he ended up living an extra 22 years. But if you take a look at the Gemara says, Sinai Odef. What's a Sinai? Misha Shana Mishnah, Ubraisa Sturim Loikin Sinasa Me'ar Sinai. Someone that learns, and his Mishnayas and his Braises are Sturim Loikin Sinasa Me'ar Sinai. Rav Yosef goes down as the Sinai. Rabbi Yosef was a Sinai. What does it mean, a Sinai? Zokrashi in Hoyris Yodal Namad Aleph. It means his Mishnayas and his Brises are Sturim Loy. They're Misudar. Right? Rashi brings in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. Ve'ilam Mishpatim Ashatosim Lifneim. Kishulchan Aruch. That when a person's learning is Misudar, that is part and parcel of what makes a person a Sinai. It's not just that you have a bunch of Yediyas. But if Yediyas are all mumble jumbled, that's not Sinai. Sinai is someone that has Mishnayos and Braises and that's Sturim Loy. When the Torah was presented Har Sinai, it was presented in a very Mesuda de Geufen. And that is the Torah of Sinai. Rabbi Yosef was a Sinai. Rabbi Yosef has his Mishnayos and Braises Sturim Loy. So said Rabbi Shmuel Yankiv, you have to be Medayik L'shoni Azov of Rashi and Adarim and Malaf Amin Aleph. Kol Mishkova Yafachta B'chol Yom Rabbi Yosef Loymer de Meshakeach Limudai. Kol Seder Hatzoas Limudai HaMesuder Loy. Nepach And that's what happened to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef learning was very mesudar, but because he became sick, now all of a sudden it's not mesudar anymore. Right? Even look at this Gemara. Rabbi Yosef has all the facts. He knows that there's some halacha related to Oymezebni Neman, Baal Shama Gerashtias, Ishtias Neman. He's just a little bit not mesudah. It's kol mishkavei hafachta b'chalyoy. But al-kaponim, Rav Yosef, who's the Sinai, whose mishnayos and braises are mesudarim loy, Kol mishkavi afachta b'chol yamin seder hatsas limudai hamisudeloi. All of a sudden, now it's going to be nepach. But we return to our regular program, which is ha'omer zebini nema. Even lifter ishtamin ayibum, even if you're going keneged a chazaka. And Rav Yosef said, I was Makabu from Yehuda, who sent the name of Shmuel. This is the version 2.0. That the reason Oymer Zebini Nemon is Hoyel Ubiyadai Lagasha. Oh, and by the way, Rav Yosef was Moisef to that. That if that's true, Baal Shalom Girashdias Ishti is also going to be believed. So the Gemara says, Ki os Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef, Om Rav Yochanan, Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So he said, Om, in the name of Rav Yochanan. So we know that there were many Amiram that had learned in Eretz Yisrael. They came back to Bavel and they reported what they heard in Eretz Yisrael, befrat what they heard from the great Rav Yochanan. And one of those Amiram was Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef. So he said, Baal Shalom Girashti Es Ishti, Einoi Neman. That if a man says that Girashti Es Ishti, he's not going to be believed. This is the opposite of what Rabbi Yosef had said, right? Rabbi Yosef said, based on what Rabbi Yudam HaShmuel said, Baal Shalom Girashti Es Ishti Neman. If there's a svara of Hoyel B'yodei L'garsha, and that's the reason that Oymer Zeb Ni Neman, that's also the reason Baal Shalom Girashti Es Ishti Neman. Rabbi Yosef said, I heard from Rabbi Yochanan just the opposite. The Gemara says that Rav Sheshes was present when Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef said over what he heard from Rabbi Yochanan. And when he heard this, Menafach Rav Sheshes Biyade. So Rav Sheshes, he waved with his hand. Azalei, he told him, Hoyel. He said, Azalei, Hoyel to Rav Yosef. That Rav Yosef's Hoyel is gone. Meaning, gone with the wind. Ayin Berashbam. That's what he meant when he waved. But the point is that Rav Yosef was very excited. He said that, Oymer Zebini Neman. So to Baal Shalom Girashti Es Ishti Neman. He had a good reason. But the point is, it was Rav Yosef's chiddush, and it was based on hoyel, meaning hoyel v'amrinon, that there's a svar of yodei l'garsha, so too we can apply it over here. So Rav Sheshes has heard that Rav Yechon said, not that way. So Rav Yechon said, not that way. No, azalei hoyel the Rav Yosef. But the Gemara says, eini, is this all true? Is it true that Rav Yechonon said, Baal Shalom Girashi Es Ishti, eino neman, not like Rav Yosef, and it's azalei hoyel the Rav Yosef. V'am Rav Chibar Abin, Rav Yechon, Rav Chibar Abin said the name of Rav Yechon, Baal Shalom Girashi Es Ishti, neman. So one second, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Did he say, Einoi Neman, not like Rabbi Yosef? Ozaleh, right? You wave with your hand, or no, Fakarity, he actually corroborated what it is Rabbi Yosef said. And in fact, you have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, like, Kasha, Kan l'mafreya, Kan l'haba, Azeh gishmak eteretz. Sometimes Baal Shalom Girashi Es Ishti is believed, sometimes Baal Shalom Girashi Es Ishti is not believed. What does it depend? Are you trying to establish that your wife was a grusha in the past, or do you want to establish that your wife is a grusha moving forward? If you want to establish she's a grusha moving forward, that you could do. You can give her a get right now. So why do you have to lie? Oh, so that gives you an amonis. But to say that she was a grusha a year ago, now, that's like migul mafreya le'amrinon, right? That doesn't make any sense. Because I could do something now, therefore I should be believed that something was like that a year ago. A year ago, you would have been believed about a year ago. But now you're only believed about now and moving forward. And that's the chilek. That avada, there's a svara of hoyel. Hoyel biyadei l'garsha. That's the reason. Oymer zebini neman. That's also the reason. Baal Shalom Girashi Es Ishti neman. I, Rabbi Yochanan, said, eino neman. Rabbi Yochanan also said, neman. And loikasha, kan l'mafreya, kan l'haba. Ibo iluhu, omel l'mafreya. What would be if somebody said, Girashi Es Ishti l'mafreya? Mau lehemune l'haba. Is he believed al kaponim l'haba? Meaning, if someone says, oymer Girashi Es Ishti, einoi neman on l'mafreya. Yes, neman l'haba. What if you said l'mafreya? Are you believed al kaponim for l'haba? Meaning, will we tell what you said and say, we'll believe you where we can believe you, we won't believe you where we can't believe you? We can't believe you l'mafreya because there's no migo. We could believe you l'haba because there is a migo or not. What's the shayla? Mi pagin in the bura, le pagin in the bura. Are we poilek? Are we mechalik? The person's deeper? Are we not? Do we say we'll believe it where we could or not? Nah. So the Gemara says, Ramari v'Rav Zvid. It was a machalik, so Ramari v'Rav Zvid. Chadam al-Palginon, v'chadam al-Palginon. One said Palginon, the other one said Palginon. We don't know who said what. I took a look in the Sefer Shem volume for Abruf Margolis, and he didn't either know, amazingly, who said what. But al-Kopanim, one of them said Palginon, one of them said Palginon. Freit Gemara, Maich Lamedei Rava. Why is this even a Shaila? Didn't Rava, the great Rava, already resolved the shayla? What did Rava say? Rava said, Ish Pliny Baal Ishti. Somebody walks into Beis Din and he says that Ish Pliny was Baal on his own wife. He said his wife was Mazana and Ish Pliny was the one that was Baal Ishti. Hu va'achem mitstarfen laharga. He, this husband, and someone else can now serve as two Eidim to implicate the Baal, laharga. And the Gemara says, laharga, abavaloi laharga. To kill him, not to kill her. Why not to kill her? Because a husband's not neman to say eidos about his wife. Ishtek gufoy. So obviously he's a karev. A karev is always possible to say eidos. But to implicate him, yeah. Now, Rava said this, and this is a big chiddush. The reason it's a big chiddush is because basically you have a guy walking into Beis Din, making a declaration, some of which is admissible in court, some of which is not admissible in court, and what we do is we say what it's admissible is admissible, what's not admissible is not admissible. Now, in the vernacular, this is known as palginin dibure. So the Gemara says, how could it be a machloikis from Rav? We don't know who said what. Isn't this Rava's famous memra that if someone says there's plenty bal ishli, who va'achem estar from the har goy? So you see, Palgin and Dibure, we accept what the husband said regarding the Harga. We don't accept what the husband said regarding the Harga. So the Mar says, not a Tzushtal. You know, I could betray Gufi Palgin, Bechad Gufi Lay Palginin. There it's different. Over there, it's two different people. There, we're believing the husband regarding the Boyle. We're not believing the husband regarding his wife. It's two Bazunder in mention. Palgin and Dibure for two people, two Gufim, that already you can do. But over here, it's one person. It's the same man who's saying he divorced the same woman. The question is, should we believe him from Rish Chodesh Mar Cheshvan on, but not believe him up until Rish Chodesh Mar Cheshvan? That's already different, and therefore there was a machlokes amiram. It's not mamash tzushtel to Rava's halachas. So the Gemara is going to tell an anecdote now related to everything we just said. Who the Habakkuk Shachiv? There was a man that was dying, and the Rashbam says he had brothers, but he had no sons, as far as we know. And as a result, he's muchzak liyib, meaning the assumption is that as soon as he dies, his wife is going to require other yibum, other chalitza. Amrule, so as this man is lying on his deathbed, so the chevra that were there said, itzei laman, what's going to be with your wife? And they want to know, is she going to fully yibum or is she not going to fully yibum? Take a look at the Rashbam. Amalusi told them, chazi lekahana rabba. She can marry anybody. She can even marry a kohen gadol, meaning she's not going to fully yibum. Now the Rashbam says, don't take this out of context. Don't turn this into raid bites. Avada, she can't marry a kohen gadol. The reason she can't marry a kohen gadol is because as soon as he dies, she's going to be an amana. A kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an amana. Not just that, it's mavur in the Gemara, we'll see in 1 second, that what he meant to say when he said chazi lekana rabba, even though as far as we know he has brothers and he has no sons, so she certainly should fully yibum, is he meant to say, I gave her a get. And as a result, she's not falling liyibum. She can marry anybody that she wants. Now, if she got a get, she's a grusha, which means not only can't she marry a kahana rabba, she can't marry a kahana zuta either. She can't marry a kohen. A kohen's also a grusha. What he meant to say was that she's muteris l'shok. She's not a yavama. There's no like siya ishes ames achutzal lichzar. She wants to get married, she can get married. In other words, in English, this man basically said on his deathbed, girashti es ishti with the nafkemino la'alocha that. So after this happened, Rabbi was there. Rabbi said, "My necheshlo." To me, this is like an open and shut case. This is very straightforward. I mean, the question was, do we believe him or not? He says, "Of course, you believe him." Which was, by the way, what Rav Yosef had extrapolated from Amr Rav Yehuda Mashmu, where the sugi began. But the bottom line is, he says, "Yeah, that loch is baal shami girashias ishti neman." So this is like a mefurish sugi in Shas, right? Learn the daf. Today's daf. Not even tomorrow's daf. Today's daf. Right? Learn today's daf and you'll see it's mamish mefurish. But Amalei Abaye was there. So he told his Rabbi, Amalei Abaye, he told him, Chiyas, Rabbi Yisabai Yisab, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. 1 second. You're quoting Rabbi Yochanan as if Rabbi Yochanan's halacha is so pashut. Don't you know there's another version of what Rabbi Yochanan said? Rabbi Yisabai Yisab, when he came right straight to Babel, he reported the name Rabbi Yochanan, Baal Shem Agrashi Yisishti, Einoi Neman. So you can't just quote Rav Yochanan, Baal Shem Agrashi Yisishti is Neman, because it's the second Rav Yochanan. Amalei Yisab, Rabbi told Abaye, V'lav mi loy shoninu? Didn't we already answer that question? Meaning it's a steer in Rav Yochanan. And we will miyashiv the steer. What did we say? Kan lima freya, v'kan lahaba. But Abaye told Rabba, I said, Rabba, I know we answered it. We answered this in Bismedrish. But does that mean that this teretz is such a convincing teretz that you're willing to work with this halacha l'maisa? Meaning, v'ashinuye nekum v'lismaych. It's a fascinating line. Abaye tells Rabba, I learned the Gemara. Yeah, I went through it with Rashbams. But at the same time, you mean this is like a real teretz? I just thought this is like a, whatever. I don't know, you're learning. Like, you're willing to take the plates? Abaye was like a little taken aback. He said, I don't know, maybe there's a steerous Rabbi Yochanan over here. And if there's a steerous Rabbi Yochanan, then maybe the husband's really not believing. And if the husband's not believing, she's a Yavama L'shok, and you can't just allow her to go ahead and get married. So the Gemara says, as a postscript to this exchange, I'm going to lay Rava, li Rav Nassim Barami. So if you have Rabbi and Abaye, there's a good chance you're going to have Rava. So Rava told Rav Nassim Barami, Chushla. What does it mean, Chushla? This is uncharacteristic of Rava. Says the Rashbam ke Abaye. I think you have to be chayish what Abaye is saying, right? This is like an Abaye v'Rava, d'amri travayu. Abaye is questioning the validity of this teretz. Could be it works in academia, but not in the Olam HaMaisa. I hear it a little bit. Could be he's right. And for that reason, she should be also v'shok. So the Gemara now is going to tell another story which has a similar signon to the previous one. There was a person that, as far as we know, had no brothers. And he said when he was dying, that he has no brothers. So this man had no children. And as far as we knew, he also had no brothers. And then he's lying on his deathbed. He says, you should not have no brothers. My wife's now falling the Yibam. And all of a sudden, there was a big tumult. What should we do? Rabbi Yosef heard about this. He said, I mean, I've heard of good tumults, but I'm not exactly sure what the pullness is over here. My lechush law, what exactly is the problem? Chad, number one, the muchzik on the lasayachim. No one knows of a brother. No one ever heard that this guy has a brother. As far as we know, he's a ben yochid. And then he said on his deathbed, he has no brother. So where exactly is the confusion, right? In the previous Gemara, he was muchzik on this le'achi, lesle bonim, and now he says, girash this ishti. So he's going against the current. Over here, the momentum is in his direction. He's going in the direction of the wind. So what's going on over here? I understand. There's no brothers that we're aware of, and he said he has no brothers. Amalei Abaya. This is classic. So Rav Yosef says a comment that's almost always Abaya. So Abaya told him, no, Amri de'ika edim b'medina sayam di'yadi desle'achi. He said, Rebbe, there's a rumor floating around in the Geselach that there are edim in Medina Sayyam that are able to testify that he has a brother. And as a result, maybe you have to be chayish for that. And if there are edim that say that there's a brother, then he should certainly have no nemanis to say that he has no brother. And by the way, we have to shtel to the Mishnah, Amud Aleph, that right? So if that's the case, then it's not so pashit. But the Gemara says, Rav Yosef told him, Hashtemiyos halesnu kamon. There's a rumor that there are edim. No. If the edim show up, then we'll deal with it. But right now, I don't know of any such edim, and we never met a brother. He's saying he has no brother, and it's for that reason he's going to be believed. And he shtelt suited Rav Yosef. He said, "Lav hainu de Rav Chanina, if you want a precedent for my psak, meaning if you think this is a little bit of a chiddush, what I'm saying, I have an exhibit that can show that the earlier Chachamim already worked with such a psak, because I think this is a perfect susha to something that Rav Chanina said. And where did he say this? In Ksubis Tav Chof Gimel Amar Aleph. So Rav Chanina said, Eidem Betzad Aston V'teyaser. So the story over there was where Shmuel's daughters were taken into captivity. And at some point they were able to get away from their captors, and they ran into Beis Medrash, and they said, you know, we were taken into captivity, but we're really Tahirim. And the Olam in Beis Medrash believed them based on a Pesha Asar, meaning they're the ones that told us that they were taken into captivity. As a result, they believed to say that Torah, right? If a woman says, Nishpesi, the Torah, it's a Mishnah Ksubis, the halach is that she's going to be believed. But then all of a sudden, there was like a tumult where people said, no, there are Edim that know that these women were violated when they were in captivity. There are Edim that can testify that there was a real tumult. So if that's the case, even though they have a Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitter, but if they're Edim that they're going up against, then obviously it's not going to work. So Rav Chanina said, Edim b'tzad astam v'teyoser. There are Edim b'tzad astam means in the north. There are Edim in the north, and you're going to make these women aser. So Rav Yosef told Abai, I think it's the same exact thing. This is like a bechin of Edim b'medina sayom v'teyoser. Right now he has an amonus. We don't know of any brothers, and therefore the halach is he's going to be believed. But the Gemara says, "Amalei Abaya told Rabbi Yosef, it's not a perfect solution. Why? Because in hikalni b'shvua neko be'eshnes ish, just because Reb Chanina in the story of Shmuel's daughters said that line of Eidim Betzadasa v'teyasa, does that necessarily mean it's a tzushta to our sugya? What's the difference?" He said, "Because over there we were dealing with shvua, and if you find a kula by shvuya doesn't necessarily mean you can apply the same kula as it relates to Eishes Ish." And the reason is because, number one, Eishes Ish is obviously more chamor than shvuya is, but besides, we find many kulas that Chazal said regarding a shvuya. B'shvuya hi kivu, ki yodua, sugyas aruchois and sturois in the second parak of Mesachus Ksubas. So, being that we know that b'shvuya hi kivu, so if you find a kula in shvuya, you can't necessarily apply it to other areas in Shas, because you could chalk it up as just another leniency that Chazal made in the sugya of shvuya. So just because there we say such a tzvar of edim etzad asna v'teyasa, it doesn't necessarily mean that over here we're going to do the same thing. Either way, Rav Yosef thought it was a tzush, Abaya thought not, and only Rav the Rav Nosson Barami, the same signun as in the previous story, chushla. And what is chushla? Again, the Rashbam says, chushla ka Abaya v'leitinasi v'leichalitza. No, Abaya is saying good. Abaya's response to Rav Yosef is something that you have to be chayish for. Meaning, I don't know if it's 100%, but you have to be chayish for it, and as a result, to just go ahead and allow this to happen is not something that you would be allowed to do. And this concludes the Gemara's analysis of the first words of the Mishnah. Now, we now return our attention, albeit very, very briefly, to the next part of the Mishnah. So what was the next part of the Mishnah? If somebody says, Ze achi, einoy nema. This is my brother, he's not believed. V'yitel imoy b'chelkoy. Stating that the person that this guy claims is his brother will get to inherit together with him in the event that the person's father dies, but he's only going to take from his chelik, not from his brother's chelik. Mace, if that brother, that questionable brother dies, yachsru nechassim l'mekayimam, any nechassim that he had inherited from his father, who maybe is his father, will go back, l'mekayimam, meaning to the brother that had testified. Ze'achi, nafli nechassim malkamach. If he gets nechassim from some random place, then Yeshua echavim, and then all the brothers are going to Yarshim together with him. So what does this mean? So we learned the Mishnah, we went through it quickly, now we have to do it a dot more carefully. And that is, the Rashbam says, Hachal mayaskinon, where there were two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Okay, one day Reuven walks into Beis Din, and he says, you know, we have another brother, his name is Levi, not surprisingly. So that there's a Reuven, there's a Shimon and a Levi. Now, what does Shimon say? The Gemara is going to talk about that. But for now, Reuven is the one that says that we have another brother, Levi. Okay. In the Mitten Derinin, Reuven and Shimon's father died. And there was a Yerushna. And he left over three fields. And the question was, and that's really what the Mishnah is addressing, is how exactly do you divide these three fields? So the Mishnah says as follows. According to Shimon, he has one brother. Reuven doesn't know of a Levi. Right? He has one brother. So from his perspective, his father died, left over three fields. He take the three fields, he divide into two parts. He gets 1.5, and Reuven gets 1.5. Now, Reuven's tining that I have another brother. So that's Reuven's issue, right? But according to Reuven, there's another brother in the picture. So Reuven has to take from his chelik and he has to give Levi. Now, how much does he have to give Levi? He has to give him half? So Rashbam says, no, he doesn't have to give him half. And the reason he doesn't have to give him half is because according to Reuven, he's entitled himself to one field. His brother Shimon is entitled to one field, and Levi's entitled to one field, right? That's basically what he's saying. Now, he's saying that I'm for sure entitled to a field, but I think that my brother Levi is also entitled to a field. How's Levi supposed to get his field? Half from me, because without Levi, I get 1.5, and half from Shimon, because without Levi, Shimon gets 1.5. So I'll give him half, and let him get the other half from Shimon. And the Rashbam says that's the way these fields end up getting divided. Shimon takes 1.5, because from Shimon's perspective, it's just him and Reuven, so he's entitled to half the Yerusha. Half of three is 1.5. Reuven gets one, because according to Reuven, he's not entitled to more than one, because he's claiming there's two brothers. And Levi gets a half. The reason Levi gets a half is because he takes a half from the 1.5 that would have been Reuven's, had Reuven not said that Levi is his brother. The other half, Reuven's not mechoyev to give him. That Shimon's mechoyev to give him. Now, he has no way of getting it from Shimon. And as a result, he's going to end up with a half. So the way we're going to divide the three fields is 1.5, 1.5, which, back of the envelope arithmetic, what you're going to end up with is 3. Now, the Mishnah goes, and the Mishnah says that what happens if Levi dies? And Levi had no children. So Levi's half a field is going to go back to who? It's going to go back to Reuven. There's no reason it should go to Shimon. Shimon never gave him anything. So, right? Mamon of Shachs. Shimon should take it now? No. Who's it going to go to? It's going to go to Reuven. Reuven, who had given half his field, or half of his 1.5 fields, to Levi, now is going to end up getting it back. But the Mishnah then concludes, and this is where it gets a little tricky, that if Levi would have Nechassim Imakam Acher, Levi's a Soicher, he dies and he leaves over an estate. He leaves over Nechassim. That field is going to be divided equally amongst Reuven and Shimon. So as much as Shimon never said, you're my brother, and therefore Shimon never gave from his Yerusha to Levi, but now that Levi dies and Levi's being manchel, so then already the Mishnah says, Yirshu Echavimai, and the Gemara is going to try to make sense of all of this. Specifically, that last part of the Mishnah, that seems to be a little bit incongruous with the first part of the Mishnah. Another thing the Gemara is going to try to figure out is, what was Shimon saying? Because that's really the schlissel here. The mafteach of trying to understand what's happening is, what exactly was Shimon's taina all along? So again, Ze achi einoy nema. The chul. Right? The punchline's in the B'chul. Says what is Shimon saying in our story? If Shimon turns through and says, yeah, of course, Levi's our brother. Avada. He's our brother. So why is it then that Levi takes from Reuven and not from Shimon? If Shimon's moided to what Reuven says, Reuven and Shimon are saying the same thing. So then there's three brothers. So of course you divide the three fields into three. Elo de ka'amri lavachinuhu. Oh, must be what Shimon is saying is deny. I know what you're talking about. You're my only brother. I don't know about any other brothers. I'm not dividing my Rush into three. Well, if that's the case, I'm a sefer. Noflin chasim imakamachi yushu echavimoy. If Levi had Nechasim Yimakam Acher and then he died, so Reuven and Shimon, I'm going to divide Yerusha evenly. Ha'amri le lavachunuhu. Why should Shimon now be entitled to take anything from Levi? If Shimon said he's not my brother, so it's like a Hoidah Spaldin, he waived any rights he would ever have from Yarshining Levi, and if that's the case, why is he getting in the Sefer? So like Maman of Shach, I don't understand. If Shimon is Moida to Reuven, so then the Yerusha should be divided into three. Why is Reuven the only one that's giving? And if Shimon is be makrish what Reuven said, then why is it that when Levi dies, other than what Levi got from the father, everything else gets divided equally amongst Reuven and Shimon? Shimon shouldn't get anything. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha deka'amri ein anu yoyden." It's talking about where he said, "I don't know." I'll be honest with you. Ich weiß nicht. Reuven said, "This is our brother." Shimon said, "Eini yoydeya." I'm really in the dark. I'm not 100% sure. How does this all then make sense? Being that Shimon says, I don't know that he's our brother, so misafik, Shimon's not mechuyev to take from his Yerusha and give it to someone, right? I have no obligation to give anything to you. But at the same time, being that Shimon never denied him being his brother, so he never waived his rights. All he said was, is any idea. Therefore, when Levi dies, Reuven and Shimon divide equally. And the cheshbon is, because when Reuven said, right, this is very simple cheshbon, when Reuven said to Shimon, you know, Levi is our brother, what's Reuven essentially saying? He's saying that he's our brother, so that, number one, we're yarshining our father, we have to share with Levi, but also, if Levi ever died, we would be entitled to yarshin, and both of us together would be entitled to yarshin. So when Reuven said he's our brother, he essentially told Shimon that if Levi dies, I'm going to yarshin, but not only me, you too. Now, Shimon was quiet. As it relates to being moitzi from Shimon, you can't be moitzi from Shimon. Because I was never moitzi to anything. But at the same time, as it relates to giving to Shimon, Reuven would have to give to Shimon. Reuven can't say, I'm going to take Levi's whole portion and Shimon, I don't know what you're talking about. Because you were moitzi, essentially, that Shimon is a brother, right? Just like you were moitzi that Levi is a brother, l'chatchila, and that's why you had to take from your Yerusha and give it to Levi. You were moitzi that Shimon is your brother. Because Shimon is your brother. It's not a question of you even being moitzi. You're saying, essentially, achinu, that he's our brother, which means that something happens to Levi, Shimon's going to get a chelek. Now, Shimon waived his rights. He never waived his rights because he was a shema. The bottom line is, that's how this all makes sense. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Zaysay Meres, can we prove from here that Manali Biyatcha? Somebody goes over to his friend and he says, you owe me a mana. Follow him, any idea. He says, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're talking about. Or, actually, he doesn't say that. He says, any idea. Maybe. Very big difference. So the Allah is potter, right? This is what we know as the sugya of Bari Vashem of Bari Yadav. So Rava said, can we prove from here that what? That if someone says, Manali Biyatcha, Vahalu Yemi any idea, potter, then you're going to be potter, right? What do you see from here? This halacha, right? The halacha bari v'shema that la bari adif, because essentially what you're saying is that Reuven in this story was a bari that Levi's a brother. Shimon is any idea. He says, I don't know, right? That's how the Mishnah all made sense. And therefore, when the father died, Reuven had to give, but Shimon didn't have to give. Now, if you hold Bari Vishema Bari Adif, then Shimon should have to give. And the reason is because Reuven's Bari that Levi's a brother. Shimon is Shema, whether he's a brother. Say Bari Vishema Bari Adif. The Teretz is, Lahoitzi Mamin, Kiyodua. We don't say Bari Vishema Bari Adif. And this is a Raya, says Rav. It's a Seir Gishmak. That Manali Biyot Chavalu Aime Eni Yedei a Potter. Because if Manali Biyot Chavalu Aime Eni Yedei a Chayiv, and Bari Vishema Bari Adif to be Mahoitzi Mamin, then Reuven's Bari that Levi's a brother, and Shimon's that Levi is a brother should be enough for Shimon to have to take from his chelik and give it to Levi. And from the fact that we divide the three fields 1.5, 1.5, not 1, 1, 1, that's a raya that Bari Vishema la Bari Yav to be Moitzi Momen. But Abaye Amra, Abaye says, Lo Eilu Mei Melucha Chayef, Lo Eilu Mei Tayyu Bari Vishema Bari Yadav, even to be Moitzi Momen. Vashani Hacha, this is different. You know why this is different? The Kemana La Achar Biyot Chadami. Oh, this is very Gishmak. This is not your classic Bari Vishema Bari Yadav. This is where somebody goes over to someone and he tells them, I'm Bari that you owe money to somebody else. What's your classic Bari Vishema? Mana Li Biyotcha. You have my money. That's not the story. You have Levi's money. And he says, Eni Yodea. That's different than Mana Li Biyotcha. Mana Le Acher Biyotcha is different than mono li biyachas. An emphasis is on li and acha. And this is not your classic, but why not? So we're not going to get into this now. But this is different, and as a result, you can't bring your raya from here. You see a bari v'shem, a bari yada playing out here, but you don't see necessarily your classic mani li biyotcha, and therefore it's not a tzushtal to the famous sugya of bari v'shem, bari yada. So the Mishnah concluded and said, "Meis yachzur nechassalim kaiman," stating that if the Levi got nechassim yimakam echad, then it gets divided equally, right? So whatever Levi got from Reuven, when Levi dies, goes straight to Reuven, because mamar v'shach, there's no schus that Shimon would have to get it. Because if Shimon is a brother, then he should have given to him lechatchila. So as a result, Reuven's the only one that gave, Reuven's the only one that gives back. But if Levi got mimakam echad, then it gets distributed equally per everything that we just discussed. So Rava said, shvach sheshipcha nechassim eilem, what would be if Reuven gave a field, this half a field that we're talking about in the sugya, to Levi, and then the field was mishabeach. It just appreciated in value, and it happened by itself. Meaning there was no toil, no work that went into it. You didn't have to be zareh b'shazri, and chayrish b'shaz chrisha, and kaysh b'shaz ktsira. It was malachtei nasai de'acherim, literally, ayin. But the point is, it was shvach sheshipchu nechassim literally me'eleim. How do we view this? Do we say, oh, this is the field that Reuven gets it? Or no, we look at it, nechassim abam imakam acher. So the Gemara says like this, bishvach hamagia liksofayim. If what grew already grew very, very tall, right? It's like shoulder height. Loiti bayalach. That's not even a shayla. That's not what Rava was questioning. That's different already. That's not the same field. So you gave him a field, and then a year later, all of a sudden, there's trees, there's mice is going on there. So it's tache or it's deshe, isim mazriya zera. That's a whole different field. And that field is for sure something that's treated like nechas and habam and makam acher, and therefore it's going to be divided equally. Kiti boilach, Rav Shaila was b'shvach she'in magia l'ksafayim. The field appreciated, but not, it's not on that level. It's not a panim chadashes. Keep going. What's an example? Dikla v'alim. You have a tree that was there. It's still there, but it's a stronger tree. Or ara, land v'asko sirtoin. It fertilized on its own. May, what's talach? And the Gemara says, tishbi yitarits kushis v'ibayis teiku. We're going to have to wait for Yoa Tishbi to know what the answer to Rava's question is. Exhale. So as it relates to raid, just one ha'ara. So the daf began with a memra that Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav Yehuda, who had said in the name of Shmuel. And after Rav Yosef said this memra, he said, "Mori Davram, Toli Tanya, Bidoloi Tanya." Doesn't make sense that Rav Yehuda would have quoted his Rebbe Shmuel as explaining something that's a Mefurash Mishnah with something that is not a Mefurash Mishnah, not even a Mefurash Braisa. And because of that, Rav Yosef said that my memory must be playing games with me. This must be an example of Kol Mishkavoi Hafachto Bichalya. And even though I was once a Sinai, and my Torah was literally Kishulchan Aruch, it was Sturois, but now already it's not so Mesudar anymore. And I must have a bunch of facts that are mumbled jumbled inside my head. And let me try this again. And he presented us with the version 2.0, which was the majority of today's daf, a real lumbish sugya tucked away in Perek Yesh Noichlam. But the way Rav Yosef prefaced the fact that, you know, something I think I might have gotten wrong was he said, "Mori Davram." So what does that even mean? So if you take a look at the Rashbam, what he meant to say was as follows. He asked on himself, is it possible that this is really what I heard? Right, Rebbeinu Shalom. A person will sometimes say, "Ay, Rebbeinu Shalom. Rebbeinu Da'almakula." That's what he said. But he didn't say Rebbeinu Shalom. He said, "Mori Davram." Who's Mori Davram? The master of Avram Avinu. Oh, but he said, Rebbeinu Shalom. He asked Akasha on himself, is this even possible? Could it be that this is what I heard? Must be. It's not what I heard. And he took another crack at it. I once heard from the Rav and Alexander Bismedrish, Rabbi Yosef Ernst Schlitter. He said that why is it that whenever Rabbi Yosef found himself in this situation, he would use the expression Morid Avram. You find that this was Rabbi Yosef's lashon that he used, Morid Avram. What he meant to do was ask on himself. What he meant to say was Rabbeinu Shalom. But why refer to the Rabbeinu Shalom as Morid Avram? So he said, "B'shem the Kotzker Rebbe," that the Kotzker Rebbe said that the Medrash says in the beginning of Parshas Lach Lecha, It's this week's parasha. Vayomer Hashem al Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha. Rabbi Yitzchak pasach. Rabbi Yitzchak, he would begin parashas lech lecha with a pasach in Tehillim. Shimi bas uri'i va'ati oznech v'shikri amech ubeis avich. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Mashal echad. I'll explain to you what a mashal. Shaya oivah mimakam lemakam. He was going from place to place. V'ra bira achas deylakes. And he saw a bira. He saw a big house, a mansion, and it was lit up. Amar, he said, toimer shabira zubalei manik. Is it possible that there's nobody that lives in this house? Is it possible that there's nobody that built this house? Can't be, right? Because it didn't come from nowhere. And as soon as he said that, hates it's all a balabira, the balabira appeared to him, Amalei, and he told him, Anihu balabira. You're 100% right. There is a manik to this bira, and I'm the manik to that bira. Kach. Avram Avinu was saying, is it possible that this world has no manik? Miyad hates its olav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'amraloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Anihu bala oilam. He's saying, good Avram Avinu, I'm the bala oilam. So the roof said that who is the first person ever to ask a bomb kasha, a kasha that literally changed the course of all mankind? It was Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu said that, is it possible Avraham Avinu was the first person to ask a good kasha? Where did he ask it? In the beginning of this week's parashas, the first Medrash Rab in Parashas Lech Lecha. So when Rabbi Yosef wanted to ask a kasha on himself, he said, could it be Morid Avraham? Because Avraham Avinu goes down as the one that asked the first kasha, and that's why it was the name Avraham Avinu that was invoked when Rav Yosef was a toli tanya, but the loy tanya, he was trying to figure out what was going on over here. He didn't just say Rimboinu Shaloylam. He said Marid Avram, because Avram Avinu is the first person to ever ask a good kasha. So this is Mamish Dover Be'itay Ma'atayv, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parashas Lech Lecha. So just to talk a little bit on the parasha as it relates to this Medrash. So the Medrash says that Avram Avinu one day recognized that if there's a world, there must be a manik, right? Moshel to a person that's over me mokim lo mokim. V'ra bira achas doylakbes. Amar toymer sha bira zubalei manik. Can't be. So too, toymer sha oylem azebalei manik. And it was immediately after he said that, that vayoymer Hashem el Avram lech lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Avram Avinu, and he tells him, lech lecha, you're right, hates its olav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Ki Yaduah, in Perek Aleph. So he talks a little bit about how Avram Avinu asked this question, this Morid Avram, and how he came to what he came to. So the Rambam says as follows, Halacha Gimel, it's talking about the early life of Avram Avinu. Kimen shenigmal eson zeh, soon as this eson, this very strong person, Avram Avinu, started maturing a little bit, hischal l'shoyteit bedaitoi, he started wandering a little bit in his mind. V'hu katan, he was very young, u'lechashe b'yom v'layla, and he was obsessed with these thoughts. He would think about them during the day, he would think about these thoughts at night. V'hoye tomeya, and this was his kasha, this was the Morid Avram. Heich efsher sheyeh ha'galgal hazeh noyeg tomid, how's it possible that you have such an incredible, such a complex bria, and that there should be no manik? Who's making the world turn? Like, who's behind all this? He said, it can't be this is happening on its own. Says the Rambam, that Avram Avinu didn't have loy melamed, he didn't have a rebbe, v'loy moidia davar, he didn't have any mentor, he didn't have a chavrusa, he didn't have somebody that was sharing anything with him. Elamushka be'ur kazdin, he was shakua, he was steeped, he was entrenched in the culture of Ur Kasdim, bein oivdei avodah zarah hatipshin, between idol worshippers, pagans, that were, in classic Rambam language, tipshin. V'ovei v'imoi, says the Rambam, Avram Avinu's father and his mother, v'cholo'am, and everyone that he knew, the entire society, v'oivdei avodah zarah, and the Rambam says, not just that, Avram Avinu was, he grew up in a house where they were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. Avram Avinu did not grow up in a religious house. And he grew up in a house where people were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. And he was Oivdei together with him. But while he was being Oivdei Avodah Zarah, his lave was not with him. It wasn't there. It was wandering. Umeven. And it was trying to understand. Until finally he acquired the derech ha'emes, v'heivin kavat tzedek, midaitoi ha'nechayna. V'yod, then he realized, she'yesh ha'melika. Echad, there's a God and there's only one God. V'hu manik ha'galgol, he's the one that conducts this galgol. V'hu bora ha'koil, and he's the one that created everything. V'aim b'chol ha'nimtza elika, chutz mimenu. And there's nothing in the world besides for him. V'yod ha'shakolam toim. And then he chapt, I'm right and they're wrong. Yeah, everybody is wrong. They're all time, they're all making a mistake. And he even understood why they came to making a mistake, which is what the Rambam talks about earlier, the Dar Enosh, Vadvar Matikim. And says the Rambam, you want to know when Avram Avinu came to this Akara? Uben Arbam Shanahika Avram Azbayra. He came to this Akara when he was 40 years old. So it started, the Rambam says, when he was a katan. Kivan Shinigmal Esenze, Hischel Shaitit Bedaitev, who katan. And he was obsessed with, like, this doesn't make any sense. But although he started thinking about this at a very young age, it took him time. It was a process. It was an avodah. And it wasn't until he turned 40 years old that he came to the recognition and the hakara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that created him. And then the Rambam starts moving really quickly. He started holding public debates, started breaking the tzlamim, he ended up running away, gets thrown into the fire, and of course, Klal Yisrael comes and the rest is history. But the point is, Avram Avinu had this kasha that that the Medrash says right in the beginning. It's the first Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Rambam B'Lashayne Azav and Hilchos Avodah Zarah Perek Av Halacha Gimel. He talks about it a little bit more. The point is Avram Avinu was the one. He was the one that had this great Sakasha. And because he had this great Sakasha, he ultimately figured it out the way he figured it out. But I'll tell you something very interesting. When we read the Medrash, we teach the Medrash the way I think most people teach the Medrash. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mashal Echad, Shaya Oiver Mimakim Lamakim, Vira Bira Achas Dailakes. There was a person who was traveling from place to place, and he saw a Bira, saw a mansion Dailakes. It was lit up. Amar, he said, Taimash Abira Zubalay Manik, hates its all about Abira, that's the Mashal. And of course, we know the Nimshal. And the truth is, if you look at Pirish Rashi on the Medrash, so Rashi on the Medrash says exactly what we just said. Rosh Amayim Ayin Shal. But if you take a look at Roiv of the Mefarshei HaMedrash, the Pirush Eitz Yosef, the Pirush of the Marzu, the Pirush of the Efei Toyar on the Medrash, they all teached the Medrash differently from the way that we just teached the Medrash. This person that was traveling Mimakim Lamakim saw a Bira Achas that was Dailekes. You know what it means that the Bira was Dailekes? It was ablaze. It was up in flames. It was consumed by fire. Not Dailekes, there was a Ner Doilek and somebody is poring over a manuscript and he's pondering the secrets of the world. That's not what he sees. What he sees is a fire. And when he saw the fire, he said, is it possible? Toimesh Abira Hazubaloi Manik hates it's all about Abira. And the Oimik of the Moshel, and therefore the Oimik of the Nimshel is a little bit different. Based on the way Roiv Mefarshei HaMedrash. It's not a favor from the Ma'ar Mokum. Go through the Mefarshei HaMedrash. If they tire, it's like the Inkam Pirish, Kiyadua, on Precious Rabbah. The Itzirat of the Marzu on the two sides. They're the equivalent thereof to your Rashi and Toisvis and the Talmud Bavli, right? And this is the way they're all Mefarish it. That he saw a Bira Achas Dailekes that was up in flames. And he said, one second, if there was a manik to this Bira, then why is it up in flames? That's what he couldn't so much come to. And that's the oimik of this guy. Plus, you learn, there's a guy who's walking, he sees a nice house, he says, somebody must have built it, it must be an architect, somebody paid the bills, right? Oh, must be there's a manik labira. It's pretty straightforward. It took Avram Avinu all these years to figure that out, right? There's a little bit more oimik here, right? There has to be a little bit more oimik here. He saw a bira that was on fire. And if you would have asked the man on the street, who owns this bira? Nobody. There's no manik to this bira. I mean, someone built it, obviously. But whoever built it, other shluft, other he's b'medina sayam, he died. I don't know. He doesn't care. There's no manik to this bira right now. Because if there's a manik to the bira, there'd be the fire department here. And they'd be with it with hoses. And they'd be trying to put out the fire. From the fact that the bira was dailekes, the oil was starting to question, maybe there's no manik to this bira. But this one guy that was going mimakim lemakim, he says, it's not possible. It can't be. Taimash habira zubalei manik, even though right now it looks like total anarchy. It doesn't look like there's a manik to the bira. Obviously, can it say? There has to be a manik to the bira. And hates it's all about a bira. And that's the mashal which plays into the oimik of the nimshal. And that is, the oimik of the nimshal is that sometimes you look around the world and it doesn't look like there's a manik to the bira. It just doesn't look like it. Does it look like someone created the world? Yeah, it's certainly, obviously. With the Ramir, Rumi Bareila. Obviously, somebody created the world. But whoever created the world doesn't look like he's paying too much attention to it. And that was a prevailing thought amongst the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Aristoi Kiyodua believed that. And there was an idea, meaning Aristoi believed Sha'olam Ein Lekadmon, but he said, Afilu Hachi, the Eibishter is Mashkiach, but Ada Yoreach, or whatever his belief was. But the point is that, look around. It's Tzadik V'Raloi, Rosha V'Toivloi. There's parts of the world that are complete upheaval. It just doesn't make sense that there's a manik to the bira. And Avram Avinu was able to deher. Again, we're not explaining the whole mashal and the nimshal here, but just a little bit of oimek here. He saw a bira deilekes, and Avram Avinu at fashtan, and he taught the world as a filu, a bira deilekes, shraita sedo a manik lebira. And even though it looks like there is no manik lebira, of course somebody built the bira. That's not Avraham Avinu's chiddush. That's not this guy who's going mokum lemokum's chiddush. The people that he's sitting and, you know, fighting with in the kechmet when he's telling the chevra, you know, there's a manik to that bira. They say, no, there's not. What are they saying? They say nobody built the bira? That's not what they're saying. That's not the fight. Right, that's not the debate over here. What they're arguing about is there a manik to the bira right now, or he let this bira deilekes just be? Because if somebody owns this bira, why would he let it be on fire? And what Avram Avinu, what this guy that's going mokum lemokum is tainting, that it's true this bira is deilekes. It's true this bira is on fire. There's no question about it. But at the same time, I'm telling you, there's a divine madness, so to speak. Yeah, it looks like everything is on fire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the architect of it. HaKadosh Baruch who's behind it. And for whatever reason, the person that built this beer is very happy with his beer being Dilekis right now. And just because we don't understand it, doesn't mean it's not the truth. At the end of the day, there's a manik to this beer. And if that's the case, Avram Avinu was Moisef in his emunah, in his akar and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though you look around the world sometimes and, you know, you don't hear it so much, but this is the way it is. The emes is, the Yefei Toyar, when he explains the mashal and the nimshal, Ayin Shom, if you want to go through this a little bit better, he shtelsu a gemara, Masechtas Brachas, Daf Zayin Amabez, a very, very well-known gemara. The gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yoichan HaMishum Rabbi Shem Be'yechai, Miyoyim Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Oilam, from the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Lohoyo Adam, Shekar LaKadosh Baruch Hu Adain. There was no one who called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adain, Ad Shabba Avram Avinu V'Kari Adain. Until Avram Avinu came, and he called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adain. Shenemar V'Yoyimer, Aleph Dal Nun Yud. It's in the parish of the Brisbane Ein Absarim. This is this week's parish. So Rabbi Yechon said the name of Shem Vayichai. The Miyoyim Shabar Kadosh Baruch Hu Sa'olam. Lohoya Adam Shekar La Kadosh Baruch Hu Adam. And if you take a look at the Yifei Tayar, he says that this Gemara has a shaychus to this Medrash. The Hilgich Sam Sofer in a Tshuva. This is in Chayshem Mishpat, Simon Kuf Tzadik Beis. We have a raid bite on this. We once went through this Barucha, but just one snippet that's pertinent to this Shmuz says, a Dover Nifli, he says, what did the Yifei Tayar mean when he shtelt through this Gemara? He said what he meant was as follows. It really comes from a Rashba. I ain't chum if you want to go through it inside. But the oimik of the Nakuda is, the Chassam Sofer says, you know, it always bothered me, this Gemara. The Gemara says, in Miyoyim Shabar Bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esa Oilam, Lohoya Adam Shekar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adain, At Shabba Avram Avinu V'Kari Adain. So it means no one called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adain until Avram Avinu. The first time you see Aleph Dal Nun Yud in the Torah is in this week's parasha. Vayoymer Aleph Dal Nun Yud Elohim Bamei Eida Ki Iroshen. So the Chassam Sofer asks, he says that we know that Yid's not allowed to say the Shem Havaya, right? You can't say the Shem Havaya. Loikish Ani Nichtov Ani Nikra. Now the Shem Havaya appears many times in the Torah before Vayoymer Hashem Elohim Bamei Eida Ki Iroshen. All those Shem Havayas are pronounced as Adoin, Aleph Dal Nun Yud. So what does the Gemara mean that there was no one that called the Kadosh Baruch Hu Adoin at Shabbat Avram? Avram Avinu was Mechadosh Adoin. If Avram Avinu was Mechadosh Adoin, then how did somebody say Havaya? If somebody was talking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you said Havaya, that's the Shem of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Iker Shem of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if that's the case, and no one said Adoin until Avram Avinu, so how did they say Havaya? This is the Chassam Sofer's kasha. Had they say Havaya, if Avraham Avinu was Mechadish Adoin, a Gemara in Bracha Sayin Amadeus, then it exactly explained to me, said the Chassam Sofer, had anybody say Havaya? He says, it's not Mestaber that there was no Havaya up until that point. Nobody was saying Havaya. Havaya is the Sheamus of the Bria, etc. But it can't be no one was Mishnamish with Havaya. But if no one said Adoin, then how are you Mishnamish with Havaya? So the Chassam Sofer says a Dabin Nifla. The Chassam Sofer says that the Kri of the Shem Havaya is Aleph Dal Nun Yud. There's also a Shem called Aleph Dal Nun Yud. He says, but they're not the same thing. He said, what's Havaya? Havaya is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hoya Hoya V'Yiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pre-existed the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal. Hoya Hoya V'Yiv, it's the shame of all the shamus that underpins all of Bria's Olam. The reason the Kriya of Havaya is Aleph Dal Nun Yud, because really one begets the other. Havaya means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Makar of all Havaya, of all Metzias. Aleph Dal Nun Yud means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adoin. He is the manig. He's the boss. And essentially, the reason the Kriya of Havaya is Aleph Dal Nun Yud is because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that sort of suggests that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adoin of the world as well. If you built something and you own the title, then you're the boss. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hoya Hoya V'Yiyah, then by definition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bara Es HaKoel, and by definition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adoin of HaKoel. So yeah, there's an Adnus, which is the Kriya of Havaya. But Sedech Samsov, it's not the same as the Shem Adnus, where you see written in the Torah, Aleph Dal, not you see Yud Kei Vav Kei, you read it Aleph Dal Nun Yud, but you actually see Aleph Dal Nun Yud. That's already different. And the reason that's different, Sedech Samsov, is because you know what that Shem means? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Adoin, not Machmas, he created the world. He's Adoin because he's Adoin. And what does that mean? He's Adoin because he controls the world. See, it's not the same thing. You could be Balabus because you're the owner. You could be Balabus because you're the CEO. You're not necessarily the owner. Ad Shabbat, Avraham Avinu, the Velt knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. That wasn't the sugya. And Avada, they knew there was a Shem Aleph Dal Nun Yud. That's the Kree of Havaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Adon. You know why he's Adon? Because he's Hayayu V'Yiyah. And if you create it, you're the owner. You have 100% of the shares. So obviously you're the Adon. But does that mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Manig? Does that mean if you see a Bira Doilekes that's on fire, that necessarily means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that fire? No, it doesn't necessarily mean that, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu built it. Yeah, he's the architect. But it could be that Abish is Bel Yoinim, like Aristo said, and he's not paying attention to what's going on down in this world. But Avraham Avinu came, and he was Mechadish, that there's a new Shem called Aleph Dal Nun Yud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Adai, not only Machmas, because he created the world, and he's the Hoya Yoyaviyah. He's the CEO, he micromanages every single detail of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Boirei, he's also Manig, and that's an independent Inyan. One is not necessarily totally in the other. Avraham Avinu came to that Hakara, through this mushel of the Bira Doilekes, the Bira that's on fire, and HaKadosh Baruch, and Avraham Avinu says that even a Bira that's on fire, I see. Now you have to know where he saw, but he said, I see. That's Avraham Avinu. That's HaKadosh Baruch, and that's the oimik of the Yafei Tayyar, quotes the Rajbu, tells this Gemara, Bracha Zayin Amad Beis, that Miyom Shabar, HaKadosh Baruch, Sang Lahayad, Mishakar, HaKadosh Baruch, Hu Adoin, at Shabar Avram, it's the oimik in this medrash based on this Pirush. It's the oimik of this medrash based on this Pirush that the Bira Dilekes was a Bira on fire. And that was Avraham Avinu's Chiddush. That, of course, Hashem created the world. But Hashem's also managed the world. Everything that happens from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's this Inyan that the Bira, even the Bira Dilekes, even when it looks like things are mamish all over the place and doesn't look like what? Which manig would allow this to happen? Must be the manig is gone. And right now, this Bira has no manig. Avraham says, no. No such thing, and hates it's all about Abira. And that was Avraham Avinu's Chiddush, and that's what it means, Lehoya. There was no one from the times of Adam Arishon, at Shabbat Avraham Avinu, that was Kara, like Kodesh Baruch Hu Adam. I just wanted to end with one Hergish, little Dover Be'itai, Digga Hergish, and that is, it's Yodua, the Gemara in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Darish Rab Chanina Bar Papa V'itemi Rab Simloi. La'asad Lava, in the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a Sefer Torah, he's going to put it Bechekoi, and he's going to say, L'misha Asak Ba, Yava V'yitah Schar. Zahayom La'soysam, U'lamachar L'kabel Scharan. This is a depiction of the Lamachar. It's the end of days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take a Sefer Torah, he's going to put it Bechekoi, and he's going to, anyone that learned Torah, anyone that toiled in Torah, anyone that kept the mitzvahs in the Torah, now's the time to get paid. Yavai v'yitel scharen. And the Gemara says immediately, all the Umay Yisrael are going to come, they're going to line up, and they're going to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know we were Isaac in Torah, and because we were Isaac in Torah, we believe that we should be rewarded for what we did. So the Gemara says initially, when the Umay Yisrael are going to come, they're going to come by Arbuvya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, all right, single file line, we got to do this a little bit more of an orderly fashion. I want you to break yourselves down, Umay by Umay, and then let every Umay individually come and make their case. And the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara tells us the first two Umays that are going to be misfakeach with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how that Shaklevatari is going to play out. And the two Umays that the Gemara talks about is Roimi and Paras. So Gemara says, Roimi is going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Roimi is going to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Harbe Kesef Azav Hirbeinu, you know, we made a lot of money. Harbe Shvakim Tikaninu, we built roads and Shvakim. Harbe Merchatzois Asinu, we built Merchatzois. Fekulam Lo Yasinu, Ela B'Shvi Yisrael, Kadei She Yisrael, Kadei She. Everything that we did for Klai Yisrael, Kadei She Yisrael, Kadei She. Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell them, Shaitim Shaba Oivim, you fools. Really? Whatever you did to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol Ma She'al Sisem L'Tzorich Atzmechem Asisem. Everything that you did for yourselves. Tikantem Shvakim Lo Hishabem Zoynes. Merchatzois. And he says, as it relates to money, that you're not even a manda amar about. Because kesev v'zov shalihu, these are things that belong to me. Either way, Roimi is going to realize that it didn't go so well for them. They're going to be all sad and depressed, and they're going to end up leaving. Afterwards, I'm skipping a little bit. When it says Paras, Persia is going to come in. And Persia is going to say, oh, we were Isaac and Torah, we want to get paid up. So Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is going to tell them, and tell me what you did. I'm in the front of them. They're going to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Harbi Ksharim Gosharnu. We built many bridges. Harbi Krachim Kavashim. We conquered cities. Harbi Milchama Yisosinu. We waged many wars. V'kulam Loyosinu Ela B'Shvili Yisrael Kadei She Yisrael. And everything that we did from Klai Yisrael to learn Torah. I'm like, Kadosh Baruch is going to tell them, Kol Masha Asisim L'Tzarech Atzmechem Asisim. Whatever you did, not for Klai Yisrael, you did for yourself. Tikantem Ksharim. The reason you made these bridges is Litam HaMeches, because you want tolls. You conquered cities, again, to conquer cities, to become wealthy. And Milchamos, as it relates to the wars, I'm the one who made those wars. Shenemer, as the Pasuk says, Hashem ish Milchama, Hashem Shemai. Either way, they too are going to end up leaving Bepachi Nefesh. It's Yudua that the Brisker Rav, in Chedushei Mor and Rizal Levi, it's the first shtickle in Parshas Bereishis, he says, if you think about this Gemara, this might be the most shvera Gemara ever. The Gemara is describing the end of days, when it's going to be clear what exactly went on for the last 5,785 years. There's going to be utmost clarity. Umal Aretz Deya. The Umay Sa'olam are going to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they're going to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Kol Masha Asinu Layasinu Ela B'Shvil Yisrael Kedei Shnei Yisasku B'Teira Eich Yo'izu Paneim, said the Brisker Rav, La'asiv Lava, in a time of clarity to say something like this. You know, if today you want to fool your friend and you want to tell him, you know, I did this and I did it for you. Okay, Oshakein Oshalo, right? Go prove him wrong. But you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it's La'asiv Lava, where they see so clearly what's the truth. How in the world is it possible that they'll be able to say this? And the Brisker Rav said that the kash is even more. Because what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response? He tells him, Shaitim Shaba Oilom, Kol Mashal Sisim Loya Sisim Elabish Velatzmachem. You are telling me that what you did for Klai Yisrael. You know you didn't do this for Klai Yisrael. Whatever you did for yourself. Shaitim Sheba Olam, you fools that you are. Said the Brisker Rav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying good, but he should have said better. Shaitim Sheba Olam, what should he have said? Shakranim Sheba Olam, you're a bunch of filthy liars. What are you talking about? He says, yeah, that's not why you did it. So why is it Shaitim? It should be. So the Brisker Rav said a Dovah Nifla. He said a Dovah Nifla. He said, we know Rashi says in the beginning of his Pirush Al HaTayr, Bereshis Bar Elokim Isa Shamayim Ve Isa Aretz, Eina Mikra Azel Oymer Elo Darsheni, Bereshis B'Shvil HaTayr Shani Gereshis, U B'Shvil Yisrael Shani Gereshis. The entire world was created for Klai Yisrael and for the Torah. B'Shkarov brings that the Rambam in his Akdom at Pirush HaMishnai says that when we say that Bria Sa'olam was for the Torah and for Klai Yisrael, it doesn't just mean that the world came into existence for Klai Yisrael and for the Torah. What it means is that everything that happens in the world from the beginning of time at Bias Kael Tzedek Meir B'Yameinu Amin V'Amin, everything is B'Shvil Yisrael. So he said it's going to be loss of love and the Umay Sa'olam are going to be very troedic. They're going to realize we blew it, right? The Jews, they served HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they learned Torah, they did mitzvahs. What do we do? We fapachked our lives, and as a result, we're not going to get anything. But then all of a sudden, they're going to say, you know something? One second. There's clarity, right? And now we realize that the whole Bria and everything that happened was Bishvil Yisrael Kadesh Yisasku B'Torah. So their lawyers are going to come storming into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they're going to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, we deserve reward. You deserve reward? What did you do? He says, what do you mean? Everything that we did was for Klal Yisrael, right? Because the whole Bria was for Klal Yisrael. And everything that happened from Sheshes Meibreshes until today was for Klal Yisrael. If that's the case, we played such a pivotal, critical role in the world. And if that's, we should be rewarded for it. It's dafka because there's so much clarity, said Mar and Agriz, that they're going to have a taina. Because Fakir, they're going to come screaming. They're going to say, don't you realize everything that happened was for Klal? So if that's the case, we should be rewarded. And you know what, Abish is going to say, you're right. He's not going to say Shakranim Shabbalim because they're not lying. Because they're saying the MS. But you know what his answer is? Because it's not. Because as much as it's true what you're saying, you didn't do it for Klal Yisrael. And because you didn't do it for Klal Yisrael, that wasn't your kavana when you did it. Therefore, Rachman Olibabai, you're not going to be rewarded. But what they're saying is MS. And it's dafka because it's the end of days that they have this taina. Before the end of days, they're gone. But because there's so much clarity, they're going to chap, they have the best taina in the world. And the Eish is not even going to deny the taina. It's a legitimate, bona fide taina. And they're not even shakronim. You know what they are? What they are is shaitan. And this is Yodua B'Shem Marna Griz. And it brings out, of course, an oimek. And this is Rashi, right? In second Rashi, Allah Torah, right? In the beginning of Parshas Bereishis. Bereishis Bara Elikim, B'Shvil HaTorah, B'Shvil Yisrael. Right? It underpins everything. It gives you a clear understanding of what the whole purpose of Brius Olam is. That a Kadosh Baruch who created a world for Klal Yisrael, created a world for the Torah, and everything that happens in the world, it all happens for Klal Yisrael, all happens for the Torah. But I went through this brisker of again recently in Tav Shin Pei He, and probably because what's going on in the world a little bit, there was one line that just absolutely caught me. So Paras comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Maya Saktem, Persia, what did you do? They're going to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Harbi Ksharim Gasharnu, Harbi Krachim Kovashnu, and Harbi Mulchom Yisosinu. So who's Persia? Persia's Iran. Right? That's who Persia is. It's modern day Iran. Iran's going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they're going to say, Evishta, you should know, we did so much for Klal Yisrael. Really, what did you do? We fought wars. Those wars, Kulam Lo Yasinu, Ela Bishvil Yisrael, Kadesh Yisrael, Kadesh Yisrael. I mean, is there a worse argument you can possibly ever make in front of a judge and a jury? Iran's going to walk in that Kadosh Baruch and they're going to say, we fought wars. Where they fight wars? Gaza, Lebanon, all the tzaras throughs that Klal Yisrael has from Iran. Right? This is Iran. And they're going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kulam lo yasinu ela bishvil Yisrael Kadesh Yisasku b'Torah. What? That's got to be the worst argument ever, right? Over the Teretz is, but the Briskerov said, that it's going to be clear that those wars that Iran was fighting was literally Bishvil Yisrael Kadesh Yisasku b'Torah. It's mamish for Klal Yisrael. The wars are for Klal Yisrael. That means that we're going to see that the reason this all happened was Bishvil Yisrael Kadesh Yisasku b'Torah. That Yidden should be mechazik, Yidden should learn more as a schos. Exactly how plays itself out of Chesnish. But the purpose of these, it's a Mefurish Gemara. The purpose of these wars is literally Bekulam Layasinu Ela Bishvil Yisrael Kadesh Yisasku b'Torah. I think the Hergish is a Hergish. But you know what? Even more, what's the Abish's response? You know what the Abish tells Persia? He says, Paras, listen, you want to take credit for the bridges that you made? We could have that conversation. You want to take credit for the Kraken that you conquered? We could have that conversation. I mean, Shaitim Shabbalim, but it's worthy of a conversation. But at the same time, Muhammad is Okta Abishta, that's no Shaykhis to you. He says, Muhammad is Aniosisi, Shenemar Hashem Ish Muhammad Hashem Shemai. That has nothing to do with you. HaKadosh Baruch says, wars? You have no Shaykhis to the wars. I'm the one that fights the wars. It's not even you, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenik Gracious. Muhammad is Aniosisi. But you know what's interesting? That when Raimi comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Raimi says their argument, we built Merchatzois, we made shvakim, we were marbe kesef. So what's Abish to say? The merchatzois, we can have that conversation. A shut in shabbat, I'm telling you, the fools of the world. You want to talk about your, we can, Aber the kesef v'zov, sagt Eibishter, Amal HaKadosh Baruch, kesef v'zov, no shaychus to you, shalihu, shenem aliyah kesef aliyah zov, no Hashem tzavakos. There are two things in this Gemara that it sounds like is no shaychus to anybody. You can't even try to manipulate this if you want it. You can't even do it b'shul HaTorah, b'shul Yisrael. No chomois, aniyosisi, what's going on in the Middle East, etc., etc. And when it comes to kesef v'zov, ayitz parnasa, that's shalihu, li hakesef aliyah zov, says HaKadosh Baruch. No shaychus. You didn't do nothing with Kesef Azov. HaKadosh Baruch was the one that decides where the Kesef and where the Azov goes. But either way, how did this all begin? Amar Rav Yosef, Marad Avram, Tali Tanya B'Tali Tanya. Why Marad Avram? Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a Kasha. The Kotzker Rebbe said, because Avram Avinu was the first one to ask a good Kasha. And what was Avram Avinu's Kasha? He said, Toymer Shel Olam Azeb Eloi Manik. And how did he come through to that Kasha with a Moshel Echot Shel Yo'ever Mimokim Lamokim V'ro Bira Achas Doi Lekas? Everybody teaches the Bira Achas Doi Lekas, I think. Was there was a Ner Dolok inside this Bira. But if you look at the Mefarshei HaMedrash, it was a Bira that was on fire. A bira that's daylakas, everyone chaps that there's a manik to the bira. It's a bigger kunz in amuna that when the bira is daylakas, when it looks like it's a blaze, when things are not going so well in a person's life, to chap that that's also coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Avram Avinu taught us. Lo'yhoya adon, shekara la'Kadosh Baruch Hu adon, atsheba Avram v'karei adon. Adon meaning that Yibish is a manik. Not adon because Hashem created the world, me'mele he's the adon. Adon because HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything. What seems to be good and what seems to be bad. And everything Hashem does, He does for us. Liyah kesev, liyah zav, milchama yisaniyo sisi. But the bira deylekes, even a bira that's on fire, even when it looks like there's madness in the world, it doesn't matter. Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the lesson in Amunah that Avram Avinu taught us.